Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for February. It's almost Lent, so February 12th. Because Ash Wednesday is on Valentine's Day, as the entire world has noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But first we're going to talk about the Olympics.
Yes.
That was my segue.
We have been watching the sports thing going on.
Yeah.
Usually we don't have a TV.
So.
Or don't have cable when.
Yeah, we don't watch the Summer Olympics, I guess, because we never have cable in the summer.
Right. We always have it in the winter because my parents come for Christmas or Thanksgiving, and we just keep it on to watch the Super Bowl.
And then this year we kept it for the. Yeah, so we've seen more winter games than summer, but I think we're going to keep it, though, because of the World Cup, aren't we?
I don't like soccer.
But
soccer is the most boring sport I've ever watched.
But I do. So.
I'm not sure I want to spend money on.
Something that I want.
Something European. It feels un-American to me to watch soccer. I feel less patriotic.
I mean.
I'm not sure soccer makes America
feels,
great again.
This feels American, these games. And how is that making you feel? The Americanness is sure coming out.
We're losing most of our stuff, and we're not doing good. Usually, when we were fighting the Russians back in the Cold War era.
And you mean?
Us as a corporate entity, we're fighting. When we were taking on the Soviet Union in the Olympics, we were always like up at the top, and now we're like.
Well, there's nobody to fight.
Germany is beating us, and.
Well, it depends on the game or the sportsing thing. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean,
we can't even win ice dancing, which
yeah,
seems to be the most
true.
Pointless.
That's yeah, the, why that can't not, we win ice dancing?
I got in trouble because I said that.
The Canadians are winning the ice dancing.
What's that?
I think the Canadians are winning the ice dancing.
We're not that even, makes sense, actually. Now that I think. Well, because it's.
What, they're all Justin Trudeau dancing on ice?
I can actually see him doing the ice dancing thing.
I think that would be great. If he stopped to lecture the crowds, like in the middle of his.
Right.
He could pause, correct someone, and then keep dancing.
You know, he's the love child of Castro and.
I know, I saw that
his
this
mother.
Morning.
Right.
Well.
And that's not just a rumor, it's actually true. It's.
There's no evidence other than the pictures themselves.
Well, and the suicide note of Castro's son, who doesn't in the suicide note make a case for it. He just matter-of-factly says how jealous he is because his father was always talking about how Justin became president of Canada and what have you done?
What have you done? And his name was Little Castro, Fidelito or something.
Right. I feel sorry for the guy. I mean, I would hate to grow up as a son of Castro in Castro's house.
When Justin Trudeau is
in Canada and
getting to be prime minister and everything.
Right. I've started reading a little bit of what Justin Trudeau about Justin Trudeau and his politics, and man, he's
far left.
He's crazy. I mean, he's not very smart either.
No, he's kind of a Barbie doll.
I don't mean to disrespect those in leadership whom God has appointed to positions of authority, but wow.
Well, he's not in authority over us.
I mean, Castro had some brains. He was smart. He was a Marxist, and he thought through things.
He was
a fool in the sense of his moral
in a biblical toward, way.
Right. But as far as you know, intelligence, he was and learning, he was. Trudeau seems to be.
He had like an ideology that he was following through in a consistent manner.
Yeah.
But Trudeau is.
He just seems like
dancing through the meadow of his own.
Right. Ice dancing.
Ice
through the frozen pond of Canadian whatever, I don't know.
Leftism.
Yeah. So anyway, we totally got off Olympics. What are your reflections on the Olympic Games so far?
Well, I did really enjoy the curling. What I liked most about it was that they described in detail, the announcer people, the pizza that had been invented for the American curlers with all the different things on it. It sounded like a delicious pizza, but I'm going to go ahead and say that the Americans looked like they were eating that pizza, and the Norwegians, in fact, looked like they were not eating the pizza. And yet we managed to beat Norway.
You know, the curling team, they look like they could be from Binghamton, they're just saying, you know, a little overweight.
Very friendly.
Very friendly, nice people.
Yep. But they won.
So if I were another Olympic athlete, if I were the, you know, Olympic, what was that, marathon cross-country ski thing, I would be mad.
That's what I'm saying.
If I had to be next to these larger...
Yeah, the curling team, I'm sorry, it's not the same as skiing uphill in the wind and then stopping to shoot your gun repeatedly. And then when you miss a shot, you have to do extra laps or whatever. So I...
And then you get back into your Olympic hut and there are the...
And they're the curlers with their pizza. I mean, okay, and then I really did love the Red Gerard guy. Like, he woke up late, he couldn't find his jacket, he had been watching Netflix the night before, and then he won a gold medal.
Right.
He's a baby. I mean, that's probably hard. I think that would be hard to stomach.
Yeah.
If you were up in the middle of the night, ice dancing, and you couldn't get the gold, and then Red Gerard, like, sweeps in and gets a gold medal.
He's a child. He's just so
He's
small.
Such a child. I mean, he feels younger than Arch.
I like the guy. He's a boy.
It's like if one of our children went over there and won something for nothing. Yeah. So, we've been watching a lot of the, I like speed skating a lot. I think those are really fun. Exciting to watch.
Those are fun. It was interesting. And one thing, though, I've noticed, it's just bugging me, is every commercial, every athlete, every who they interview always has this, you know, believe in yourself meme. Like, if you believe in yourself, you can do anything. Well, no.
That's really not true, because
no, you can't.
We all believe in ourselves, and we're literally not there at the Olympics right now.
But that is our culture, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, do you believe that you're a woman?
Well, it's really
over.
Yeah.
But you can't really believe that you're...
An ice dancer.
An Olympic ice dancer. I mean, you can really try hard and really believe in yourself and not be an Olympic ice dancer.
There's so many of in the figure skating, but or in every case, they have, like, they do the little story about the athlete's life. And it turns out, you know, that they maybe didn't get to go 4 years ago because they didn't make the, you know, they weren't chosen for the team. And so, or they had an injury and they've crawled back. Like, most of us don't, even no matter what kind of belief we have, we're not doing that. For instance, I believe in myself and I've just spent the week in bed.
Yeah.
And look where it got. Look where all my belief in myself
got
me.
Well, what happened, sweetie? We were making fun of Gloria Copeland, but you never...
Yeah. Oh, well, that was rich.
Huh. You were struck with the flu.
Because I didn't have enough faith.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Did you think about the timing on that? Do you think God might be trying to tell you something?
I think God might be trying to tell me something. Either that or... Yeah, no, it's probably just that he's trying to tell me something. Yeah, that was terrible. I should repent? What do I do if I don't have enough faith in myself?
But I don't know. But it was nice. We were watching a commercial or something when Muriel saw some athletes saying, if you believe in yourself, you can do anything. And Muriel says, that person must not be Anglican.
Yeah, she's like, no, she asked, is that person Anglican?
That's right.
And you said, no, sweetie. She's like, oh, good. He's like, that's nuts. No, it's so annoying. If you can be whoever you want and just believe in yourself, and also let's accept everything, you know, the trajectory from, you know, not being horrible to people with disabilities. Okay, that was really good. That was good. Yeah. We can all be human.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great thing for to happen. So let's include even the people who don't have limbs or who are,
nice.
You know, have mental disabilities. But we just kept going. Like, that was great. And I think that's permeated the culture. I think we should say that nowadays people in general are not horrible jerks to people of other races. and other even orientations.
In generally speaking.
In generally speaking, we're not horrible to each other in the way that maybe the 80s, like the nerd movies were. You know, you can be different now. The problem is...
I don't know. There's still a bullying problem in the schools.
Yeah, isn't that funny, though? How there's still a bullying problem, even though this meme is so strong. Yeah. Okay, but it's so preachy. And in the general sense of morality in the culture, everybody accepts that the bullying is wrong, right? Mm-hmm. It's really pervaded. Everybody's unique and special. You know, let's all love each other. Okay, but it keeps going, and it's boring now. Like, well, all the commercials need to stop, yeah, because it's boring. Get a different message. It's...
Right, it's boring, and, you know, if someone really knows the truth about themselves, it's defeating. Because, you know, if you're told all the time, you're special, you can do it, you can do anything you set your mind to, and you go out there and you try to do something, you fail, and you keep failing, and yeah, you don't get to be the person you always were told you are, and you believed that you were, then what's left?
Yeah, what do you have?
That's what happens when you find your identity in you, rather than...
Well, but then you can have Stephen Furtick come up with his video.
Right.
Literally every commercial has been a Stephen Furtick sermon. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. The video where he's saying,
yeah, you can where do he's it. Like, you, he's you, taking the Bible to say, you can do it.
You just need to have faith in yourself.
Yeah. It's so dumb. It's just lame. It's boring. And it makes sportsing into this, like, I don't know. Because, I mean, we're all tuned in watching the Olympics because we know we're not there. Like, we're not all at the Olympics. Obviously, it's a special thing. I just think it's irritating to have everybody with a microphone and a commercial saying, you could do it. You're awesome. Like, I don't want to do it. I'm watching somebody on TV and I'm not that awesome. Like,
do I have to be awesome?
Yes, stop telling me this. I'm eating my, you know, pizza here. I don't want to go to the Olympics. Stop. I don't even want to go for curling, although...
But see, sweetie, you're an accomplished woman. You're an author. Mm. You have a master's degree. Mm-hmm. You're ordained. You have you have an educational level that far surpasses most women around the world. You've borne 6 offspring, and you have an excellent husband, and you've achieved all of this
in your 40
years, right? So you did it. You've done it. You are a winner.
Right, I'm a winner.
You're an achiever. You should you should write a rap about yourself. Didn't Steve Furtick do that?
Yeah, he did.
The rap.
I should do a guide or something, or an ad.
Yeah.
For how to be more like me. What are you Googling?
We should make it, if I knew how to video stuff, we could put you like in shadows. Mm-hmm. Like, and you could talk about how you were raised and without water, running water.
Yeah, that's right.
I could. And, you know, without electricity. But then you came to America. Your great dream came true. And you... went to university.
Yeah.
And we can put the music starting to go.
And then what would you have? Because I'm not going to get on a bike or like get in an ice bath. Would you watch me in the kitchen chopping an onion?
cleaning the cat vomit off the off the counter.
Because I'm not going to do like physical exercise. This other thing, we're watching the Olympics, so that's fine. I don't want to watch people doing math on the board in a commercial.
Well, spelling bee was kind of interesting, you know.
With this music sweeping up. Yeah, but I mean, that would be great when the spelling bee was actually going on.
I got in trouble because I made fun of the ice dancers.
How dare you?
Yeah, because I did. It is seriously...
Nothing about them is funny. Nothing.
these men with these like feathered peacock...
He was a figure skater.
And who's the announcer with the hair? What's the guy's name?
He was figure skating, and he was a person before. He was like a former figure skater.
He was a person before he became a commentator? That's unique. I didn't know there were those. But he wears that big, huge thing on his head. Is that hair? Is that piece?
Yeah, it's. I don't know, but it's embarrassing.
It really is. So that's you watch that, and I'm sorry, Sarah says, on my Facebook, well, that's just you're just speaking as a man of your age. No, any man who's a man watching that becomes less of a man afterwards. You lose masculinity for every moment that you're watching Ice Dancing with the costumes and the twirling and the and the it's effeminate. Can you say that anymore? Is that not?
I don't think you can say that. I mean, I think you should apologize really quickly.
I know that some men naturally have less masculine traits than other men.
Well,
I get that.
No. But level of testosterone has fallen. Is falling precipitously.
Well, that's because we're watching Ice Dancing. If we stop watching Ice Dancing,
it's because of soy. I mean, they've already documented that.
I don't think I should let our boys watch Ice Dancing.
Mm. They weren't. I tried to make them come and watch it because I thought it could be a family time, and surprisingly, they did not come and watch. They stayed with whatever they were doing because I thought we could do it together. I thought it would be like a mother-daughter time.
No, this person, another person, Sarah Dalen Brewer, who's an Episcopalian, was mad at me because I said that. I wrote that I felt testosterone leaving my body, and she said, well, those men are strong and much more
fit than you are. Well,
yeah, I don't dispute that at all. I have no judgments to make about the Ice Dancer.
It's not.
You lose testosterone every moment you watch it. That's all I said.
Huh? That masculinity is more than just your sheer brute fitness or strength.
Right.
It's something essential to a being that can be sucked out in a magical way.
I'm sure some very large lesbians could beat me up. And they might have testosterone shots or whatever. I don't know. So I'm not saying anything about
the strength factor.
Right. The strength factor has nothing to do with this. Right.
I think you
should. We're teetering on the edge here.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble. At least from once it's not me. I would like to do the ice, the curling, where you actually, instead of a big rock, you push the cat across the ice. That's a sport I would like.
Have you seen that anywhere? Is it?
Yeah, no, it's everywhere. Oh. It's like they replace the rocks with cats and they're pushing them.
Are they dead?
No, they're sitting there. I mean, it's not real, obviously. But wouldn't it be great if it was?
You'd have to get them in boxes so they would stay. Like
we'd have to push our bowl with our cat in it. Like, gently push it down the ice. And she would sit in the bowl. Because when she's...
Looking angry when she...
She won't get out of the bowl if you've got to move the bowl. Yeah. Like, you have to pick the bowl up, and she stays in it and looks at you like,
what are you doing?
What is wrong with you?
You should put a picture of the bowl up
for me. For today. Yeah. Cat curling.
Right.
Yeah.
The stone.
The stone. No, it's been great, the Olympics, but I'm not going to be able to last the full 10 days with the commercials. The other one I just need to say, the stupidest thing on television is this Walmart business where your baby spits her plug on the floor, her pacifier.
The dog gets it.
And you go online and order more pacifiers and you keep ordering them and then your child throws her cup into the mud and you walk by. What is this, like 1980? Like,
stick it back in the sucker's mouth.
Well,
it builds character.
Are we not worried about the earth? Like, I thought global warming was a thing, and yet this family in this commercial is getting daily boxes, which are made out of trees, from Walmart. Where are they putting all the cardboard? It really upsets me. Actually, wash your pacifier and cup off. Don't order a new one.
Yeah, didn't we learn that the dirtier stuff is in the house? I mean, to a certain extent. Isn't it better for the baby because they learn to, they get immune?
Well, there's that.
Boosting.
There's that. But also, like, on the one hand, we're being lectured about the cars. Toyota wants us to have cars with no gasoline in them. But.
Really?
I thought so.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah, technology. We're not going to have gas anymore. We're going to walk everywhere. So on the one hand, no gasoline for you. But on the other hand, you can order boxes from Walmart because you're a lazy jerk who hates trees and wants them all cut down by Walmart and made into blue boxes. Like, stop. Stop it with
I'm sure they're biodegradable boxes. So you can re-degrade them or whatever.
Yeah, I guess, but it's evil. It's really bad. I'm shocked, actually. So, should we move on to our next segment?
Maybe we've exhausted the... I think we've offended everyone that we could possibly offend.
Should we issue an apology to Justin Trudeau?
I would like to find out if the rumor is true. I would like to know.
How would we find out, though? Because they're not
genetic testing or whatever.
We can't go to Canada and insist that...
I think he would like to be related to Castro.
Yeah, he probably would.
I mean, it would mean his mother's a little bit loose, but...
It said that in the article.
Huh?
It said that in the article. Right, it said she was known to be...
sleeping around with everybody.
Yeah, and then... Yeah, she was very uninterested in being with her own person. So... It was on the internet. It must be true. So, what's our next segment?
You wanted to talk about Lent.
I wanted to talk about Ash Wednesday because you've been arguing all week about whether or not it's okay you don't celebrate Ash Wednesday, to observe Ash Wednesday with the imposition of ashes, or whether that is not Anglican and you better stop.
You know, I'm very reformed in my theology. I'm a Calvinist. I identify as a Calvinist.
Self-identify
as a Calvinist. but there are elements of reformed thought in Anglicanism and elsewhere that just drive me up the wall. And one of the things that drive me up the wall is this is the form, the fight over the form of worship. And I think the reason it does is because I think it's so unimportant. I mean, it's so... Okay, now, I don't mean totally unimportant, because, I mean, on the far end of either the evangelical form or the non-liturgical evangelical form or the liturgical Anglo-Catholic form, you have craziness, right? You have the rock band followed by topical sermon.
That's not crazy anymore. You just said craziness. That's actually the substance of evangelical worship.
Well, the rock band playing, you know, I love you, Jesus, you're my bearded boyfriend music, then the topical sermon about you getting ahead in life. Right? That's wacko on the non-liturgical side. Then on the angle, I mean, in the far high church side, it can be wacko too. You can have the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. You can have the monstrosity being
carried around.
The city, so I get it. I see those two extremes, and you've got to be careful not to go off on the edge.
It's actually not hard to not go on the edge, because you don't accidentally do an adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I was trying to just polish the brasses, but then suddenly I found myself adoring. Yeah. And my sleeves were snowy white and covered in lace, and oh no.
Little jigger of gin in my pocket.
What does gin necessarily go with?
Oh, Anglo-Catholics, gin and lace, the gin and lace crowd. Oh,
okay, but not during their adorations.
Well, before and after.
Okay, I was going to say, you don't accidentally drink gin while you're adoring the sacrament.
No.
And now we offend the Catholics.
No, I love my Anglo-Catholic friends, but this is the fight within the Reformed circle. So the idea within... there was a post on one of the Anglican Reformed sites saying, Facebook pages saying... Why are we celebrating Ash Wednesday? Because it wasn't...
celebrating it. It's an observance.
Okay, whatever.
Because
it's in the 16th... It's not in the 16th... The imposition of ashes is not in the 1662...
Book.
So, therefore, we ought not to do it.
Okay.
And those who do it are just mindlessly, you know...
Following the 79 prayer book.
Yeah, or looking toward Rome, wanting to be Romish... And besides, the Ash Wednesday service has a reading from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, don't do your acts of
piety
in public to be seen by men. So clearly the Jesus would have forbidden
Justin Trudeau.
Or what?
Don't do your acts before men or women.
Or people kind.
Or people kind. Justin Trudeau. Just as you said. Okay. I think there should be a separate clause because we have men. We have a gender spectrum. Men, women, Justin Trudeau.
So if you have an ESV Bible, you should have like they should have the Justin Trudeau version where every time it says men, you should have a picture of Justin Trudeau. And with people under that.
Yeah. It's people. Okay, sorry, go on. Can you even remember where you were talking
about? Yeah, so let me just read the post because I'm spinning here. Some of my Reformed Anglican friends are bemoaning the imposition of ashes on Ash Wednesday as if it were one, merely some Romish custom unthinkingly adopted, and two, an outward show of piety by which Christians seek to win approval from men, contra Matthew 6, which not accidentally is read during the service. I think they miss the point. The purpose of the imposition of ashes is so that we might publicly proclaim not our piety, but rather our worthiness for condemnation. We publicly say, I'm a sinner, worthy of death. Ashes are hardly a mark of spiritual pride. In fact, if used rightly, the ashes undermine the public view of Christianity, that it is a religion of moral improvement. The ashes say no. The church is an assembly of the would-be damned who have been rescued by Christ and his work on the cross alone. The ashes say we have no hope but the cross. Of course, every ceremonial act, even the most liturgically low congregation, can be misused and abused, but the tendency among my Reformed brethren is to disregard the entire rite on account of its misuse. This is folly, and moreover, it's difficult to think of a better way to invite our unbelieving friends and neighbors to inquire about the gospel. What is that black smudge in your forehead, they might ask? And you can say, the ash means I'm a sinner, and the cross reminds me that God sent his only son to save sinners. So there are 98 comments on that.
Yeah, I gave up reading after comment number 4.
Yeah, well. So what I don't like about it is I think Anglicanism, based on its formulary, is a far broader field for liturgical expression.
You're going to end up being broad church, and then that's very bad.
I'm Reformed, but there's a liturgical broadness allowable because we're normative. We embrace a normative view of Scripture, which means that insofar as the worship form doesn't conflict with the Scriptures and it is not forbidden by our bishops, then the church is free to do it. And arguments about whether or not we should do Ash Wednesday, it strikes me as the arguments that Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 8. Well, he didn't do it in that voice.
He wasn't Paul in that voice.
No, I didn't say Paul was. Paul is going after people who are upset.
I know. But you're doing a voice, I'm saying. You're doing a super sarcastic voice.
I'm not either.
Yes, you are.
I wasn't being sarcastic at all. I was trying to give them the fair shake.
You just did a voice.
Anyway, it just people who are focused on liturgy get so focused on it, and really intense fights about whether you have 6 candles or 2 candles or any candles on the table or altar. Ooh, don't say that word. Whether you're north face, east face, behind, what kind of vestments you're wearing. I get it. I know that the 1662 prayer book and the settlement had certain specifications laid out for clerical dress. I understand that, but the articles are very clear that the scriptures are our primary, the scriptures alone tell us what is permissible and not permissible. And the idea that we can't wear an alb because of this Elizabethan settlement is a bit like saying we can't eat shellfish anymore, or we can't. I mean, it's a weird imposition of a law that isn't taught in Scripture, and attempt to bind the conscience to something else besides Scripture. And it takes away the focus in the gospel. Just come to church, listen to the gospel being preached. And a good shepherd, look, we have a high liturgy, not because I like it. I mean, well, I do like it, but I didn't like it when I first got there. And I'm from a lower tradition myself, but
we kept it.
We kept it because we didn't want to mess with the furniture. And we still don't. Why? If people have been worshiping a certain way for generations, why get in there and muck about when the hardest part is going to be to preach the gospel to them?
You have to have a really, really good reason to get rid of something.
Yeah.
Because when you do, you're going to make people unhappy. So there was a reason, for instance, to get rid of the midnight mass. Well, not mass, sorry, but that's what they called it when we got there. The late night Christmas Eve service.
Yeah.
We did get rid of it because, well, only one person wanted to go.
Everyone was happy that we were doing it.
But nobody wanted to go. But we also realized, like, there was this unhealthy attachment to that service. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Sorry.
One woman called it her teddy bear, literally.
Yeah, she literally called it. And at that point, we thought, okay.
When you take it away, you're taking away my teddy bear.
Yeah, so we need to take this away. This needs to go because that's not the purpose of worship, is to make you have a warm, cuddly bear. So there have been times where we've changed things. Right. You know, like we went to the new ACNA prayer for communion, mm-hmm. and we've had contemporary music and traditional music, and you know, it's not like you can never change anything, but you need to have really good reasons to change them, and the reason to change or not change shouldn't only be, was this done in the 1662 prayer book? Like, that makes Anglican expression into a fixed,
mm-hmm.
I would say almost magical rite, you know, where the form in the 1662 book, which isn't the Bible, it is full of the Bible, becomes more important than what you have going on. And I mean, I think that Anglicanism around the world is one of the interesting and lovely expressions of Christianity, because it can go, and local contexts and local languages can use the mm-hmm. form or the basis of the 1662 book, but then adapt it to their local context.
Right.
And you have to have freedom to do that. Otherwise, I mean, I'm sorry, what are we doing if you can't adapt it? Like,
yeah. No, you
what you am have I to, missing? Yeah. You have to. So up here, we have very post-Christian
mm-hmm.
with sort of elements of Catholicism that nobody even really remembers. It's like a dream.
A lot of people grew up Roman Catholic.
Yeah, but they don't even remember. They don't even know, you know,
what it is.
But ashes, some of the liturgy is really helpful for us for communicating the gospel itself. You know, we were able to use it as a tool to engage with people inside and outside of the church, both. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, it there's not only is there a precedent for anointing your head with ashes in the scriptures as a sign of repentance and faith, but it's also clear that those who come forward and do it are doing it to express their sinfulness and their sorrow and their recognition that they're doomed to die, and yet their hope is in the cross. That's
the gospel itself.
What could possibly be wrong about that?
Well,
you and I have sat through services in the Episcopal Church and even in Anglican churches where the first part of the service is great, you know, you hear the readings and you're looking forward to a sermon on one of the texts.
Yeah.
And then instead, the preacher gets up and talks about liturgy.
Yes.
And it's just so boring. And it's horrible. Terrible. It's lifeless. No, it's dead.
It's awful.
Well, this is why we Anglicans...
You might as well...
wear this robe.
Now you're doing your voice again, and that's very bad.
It's just... Ah, it's not where the...
Well, it's as disappointing as going to an evangelical church where you have 45 minutes of music, 45 minutes of a sermon, and then you all go home without receiving communion.
Yeah.
Like, hang on, you guys. You know, you did half of what you should have done, and everybody feels sad, but that's what is, yeah. Well, people don't feel sad, but they should. They should feel sad.
Right.
I want to just make a case for why going to an Ash Wednesday service where there's an imposition of asters is what can be really moving and helpful for you in your spiritual life. And that's that I would bet that you actually don't have to face your mortality often enough. And if you go and have ash put on your head and feel the grit of it and hear the words, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return, and see that happen to young children, when young children go up, or teenagers, you the beautiful young vibrant people who are full of life who go and receive this sign of death,
yeah,
it's actually incredibly moving
on the heads of babies too.
On the heads of babies, it's a sort of a little shock to the system. It centers you back mm-hmm. into reality, and we don't have the opportunity to do that very often. Most of us aren't going to funerals very often, and even in funerals, you're shielded.
You're not going to the funeral. You're going to the celebration.
You're shielded from the question of death, and you should not be. You should not be shielded from that. You shouldn't shield yourself. And so the one opportunity in a year, the only opportunity to go and this is the power of liturgy, not just see it with your assent with your mind, because you can say, yes, I'm mortal with your mind, but your heart and your body don't follow into that knowledge necessarily very easily. But the going and having a physical sign of ash is a little shock to your whole system to recenter you, and you should not pass over that. You should go and have the ashes.
I mean, at the same time, we're not saying, and this is where I would never say you must do the imposition of ashes or you are,
in order to be saved,
disobedient and wrong. No, I mean, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. That is part of the wonderful thing about Anglicanism, is we don't put things that are minor in the category of major. If it's not essential, we're not going
to
insist on it.
We do, but we're not supposed to.
No, we're not supposed to, right? So we don't want to, we wouldn't insist that everybody in our congregation come forward and take the ashes. We wouldn't insist.
But they should.
We don't insist them. We don't make them do that. And we wouldn't think less of them if they don't. And the same thing is true of the congregations that are more low and they don't want to wear robes and they would want to have, I mean, fine. I mean, I wouldn't go there myself, but it's, who cares? Are they preaching the gospel? That's what matters.
I mean, that should be what matters, but I feel like it so often isn't what matters.
Well, obviously, because I have 98 comments on this thing and it's crazy. But anyway.
What are you giving up for Lent?
Sin. Sorry, just stop sin.
Okay.
Stop sinning.
Yeah, I'm going to do that too. We're going to have the children give up screens.
Yeah, we should have them give up not cleaning.
Yeah. Give
up not cleaning and screens.
And screens. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
What are you giving for it?
Sin, okay. Too. Right. I'm going to also All give right. up sin.
All right.
Why?
We should have done it earlier, Bruce.
Yeah, we just didn't get around to it, so now we're going to do that. So, all right, well, we have, do we have a final segment?
We were going to talk about the week of your flu, but...
Oh, yeah. I know everybody would like a blow-by-blow.
Do you feel better now?
I mean, I do feel a little bit better. I haven't had a fever for, 3 days. Mm-hmm. But I'm very weak. I'm very weak.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you were really lamenting during the time of your flu... not being able to get up and clean.
Yeah.
So we thoughtfully left. We didn't touch anything so that you could clean now that you're better.
Yes.
We knew how much you...
It's all there. It's all there.
Don't worry, sweetheart. When you get better, it'll still be it'll there still for you. Be...
That was my flu, yeah. I'm very sad and angry, actually. So... We have to celebrate.
And no one else got it. I'm surprised no one else got it so far.
I mean, no, they have colds.
Yeah, but not the flu.
Not the thing that I had. So.
And we were like, we're close. We're married, so we're very close to one another.
Actually, we haven't been that close to one another. I noticed somehow that you just were not around this week. There was always like a 50-foot parameter between or gap between me and you whenever.
I love you, sweetie, but I don't want the flu.
And you just let me lie on the couch and dehydrate.
You didn't ask for. I asked you, what can I get you? And you didn't say anything.
Sometimes I was too sick to even speak. And you just looked at me and were like, oh, well, I guess she's not dying. Even though I was dying. I was dying.
You looked fine. So I was thinking, well, she's all right.
Yeah.
And so, I would ask you periodically, what can I get you, sweetie? What can I get you, princess? And you wouldn't say anything. So I thought, okay, well, she must be doing great.
Yeah.
And I would put my head on your forehead every once in a while. My hand on your forehead every once in a while. To see if you're hot. And you were really hot.
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like that's a great closeout for today's podcast.
Yeah.
I think that we'll probably be talking more about the Olympics next week. But I don't know. We'll do something else amazing in 3 segments. But until then, have a great week.